This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 614. Q&A's all over the floor. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorms, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros. And with me, I have Toasty. How are you, Toasty?
Unmute yourself.
I'm doing fantastic, Medros. How you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. And that, you did hear correct, guys. That is a fan death.
Yay! I'm alive.
Yay!
I am alive.
Alive is good, I hear.
Yeah. It's what I recommend.
Good stuff.
Indeed, indeed. How is your weekend? Well there, fan? Or 2 weeks, I guess, since we know you last week.
I'll be honest. I have not played a lot of WoW. I've not even looked at a computer very much unless I'm at work. I just haven't had time, haven't had the drive to come play, and it's kind of sad because I really wish that I was, but I just there's so many other things going on, and it's going to be like that for at least the next couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more. Hannah's gone back to work now, so we're taking Haley to daycare every day, and this is her first full week back. Last week she was back a couple of days. Yeah, life is just so busy and tough and maybe a little bit stressful. Was it last Monday maybe while you guys were doing the show? Things kind of chilled out a little bit for me, and so I was able to hop on my computer. So I grinded. And I hit 120 on fan. So yeah, I'm there. I do believe that was the last time I logged in until just before the show. That's unfortunate. And I really wish that I had more time to play games, but I get so tired so early and just want to go to bed. And I'm busy all weekend, and it's tough. It's absolutely, but yeah, I hit 120, so that's awesome. And hopefully I get some more time in the near future and, you know, get to do all that fun, exciting stuff that you guys talk about, like doing mythics and maybe even doing some LFR so that I can actually see that stuff. That'd be fun. That'd be awesome.
You said fun things, and then you said LFR. Those are not compatible statements.
You know, there's nothing that a bottle of rum or a bottle of whiskey won't solve when you're raiding.
That's my problem.
Water won't do it. It'll just make you...
But that's flooded. Most of what I drink now.
Oh. Myself included, but you should really introduce yourself to the beer tap at work, because it's good for you.
That is true.
Uh-huh. I'll show you tomorrow.
I did indulge in it my first couple of weeks working there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, clearly you're needing a revisit of that particular place at the office.
I walk by it every day to fill in my water bottle.
But that's like you wave to the receptionist on the way in, but you don't really stop and say hello and talk.
Actually, I don't walk by the receptionist on my way in.
Exactly. He walks in the side door.
Yeah.
It's not quite the back door, but it's close to the back door.
Yeah.
I walk in the back door. Oh, that sounded awful. Medros, how's your week in WoW? Speaking of week in WoW, I listened to last week's show today at work, so I'm kind of caught up on the goings on. But yeah, so how was your week in WoW?
Pretty good. I hit 120 on my Demon Hunter just before the show. I now have to hurriedly try and get 20 world quests done before the end of the night, so that I can get that world quest complete. But I already did like 6 of them over in Drestfar. Next step is like Zandalar and getting some Azerite ones for Champions of Azeroth done. But not much overall other than that. My Mule Key's raking in the money. Found a bit of a glitch in my transmog operation. I was using the wrong call for that, so I switched that up, and some stuff that wasn't wanting to post finally posted. So I think I got like 40,000 gold waiting on my mule today. Over the week, I think I've made about 120,000-130,000 gold. So that's not bad. Yeah, just working on stuff. I think my next one after the Demon Hunter is actually going to be my actual hunter, because I want to go and get some of the pets that I keep seeing. There's some really nice looking wolves out in Stormsong, and then there's the hex wolves out in Drustfar that might look really cool as hunter pets. So definitely want to check those out and maybe level him up. If not him, maybe my monk. My casters are probably going to take a little time before I'm willing to do those. I'm not super comfortable. Like, even my melee DPS have struggled a little bit. My Demon Hunter died a few times when I didn't think he should have, because he was taking too much damage. So I kind of feel like right now I'm not really comfortable doing the casting thing without, you know, a lot of banking for repairs.
I died a bunch the last couple levels. Well, the last level, no, I didn't really, but the two before that, I died a bunch. I just kind of shook my head and laughed. Like, I'm like, oh, you're dumb. What are you doing? And it's just like stupid things or even pulling too much stuff. But I know the guy that sits beside me at work was warning me about how difficult it gets at the last levels. But
because that's when you start losing a bunch of the different abilities and all that other stuff, because the legendary stuff working at a certain point.
Oh yeah.
And all that other good stuff. So yeah, at a certain point, I think it's around the 115 to 118 level.
From 115, I think they stop.
Yeah. So around that point in the leveling, it's a bit of a sharper increase in difficulty. Not much, mind you, but if it's your first time going through it,
the biggest thing that held me back when I was leveling was not equipping my new gear, because I got stat increases that, you know, if you don't equip it, then you're kind of garbage. And
you mean the gear doesn't help from the bag?
No, silly Toasty.
I actually had that problem a couple times this past week too. Go to scrap a bunch of gear, like, oh, there's a bunch of 370 gear here that I should probably, you know, keep. So I did.
Well, my Demon Hunter already has 4 blue pieces from doing world quests. That's kind of what I'm focusing on, is trying to get gear as quickly as possible. I do regret that on my main. It took me a lot longer to get on the gear bandwagon. So I'm hoping as I go through things, it'll be a bit better. I'm also really hoping, but I'm pretty sure this is not going to happen, that I'm going to have a big struggle on him getting war glaives from world quests. So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, you can equip swords or axes anyway, so like, war glaives aren't your only weapon type.
But they look the best. And it would feel weird not using a war glaive on a Demon Hunter.
That's what transmog's for.
Yes, but I would still know I'm not using one.
Who cares?
Me.
As long as it looks like a war glaive, it's all gravy.
Not the same, man. It's not the same.
Hell, I'm using 2 swords on my warrior right now.
Okay, use a sword and a shield on your tank, on your warrior. It's just the same, man. It's just the same.
No. Hey, wait. Well, that is not an applicable argument. I'm telling you to transmog a weapon appearance over your weapons. You're telling me to use a sworded shield.
Come on, man. Come on.
That is a.
It's just the same. It's the same argument.
No, it's not. One of them is changing the entire way I play a class. It's what I'm asking you to do, man, is just changing the appearance. No.
Okay, Trevor, calm down.
Not the same.
I personally disagree. And we can disagree. We're allowed to disagree, Toasty.
That's true.
But hey, if I'm looking for a tank for doing dungeons, you're good for that, right?
We disagree at least once a week in regards to which class is better. Warrior.
Absolutely. Obviously. Again, I'm sad to see that you're so incorrect.
That's just like your opinion, man.
All right. Toasty, how was your week?
My week was productive. So I finished off Pathfinder Part 1. So that's all good. And I began the long grind of 7th Legion rep, which is just me running through literally every world quest on Zuldazar because I want to unlock my Dark Iron Dwarf. I think I'm about 25%. Yeah, about 25% through to getting revered. To getting exalted, sorry. So, yeah, the world quest event and the bonus rep that came with all the world quests really helped.
Wow.
I did that. Tried in vain to get into a mythic Siege of Boralus group. Like, before it was frustrating, I would just get outright denied for groups all the time because DPS fills up so fast. Then on Saturday, I had 4 groups that I actually got invited to and got formed up fall apart before trash even got pulled, which is just a whole other level of frustrating. So, the first group, the healer DC, like he just showed up offline. He was in the middle of talking, and we saw him running in place for a little bit, and then he disconnected. So, whatever. Stuff happens. We'll move on. But, of course, the minute the healer DC'd, everyone else is like, well, screw this, and they all quit, and they all drop group. Hmm. Second group, the tank did 1 ready check. A hunter didn't reply on time. And then he left the group. Okay, that's frustrating. But whatever, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Third group. I can't remember what happened with the third group. But it fell apart before we even zoned in. I think it was about... No, I can't remember what the third one was. The fourth one, I got lucky and I was one of the random DPS that got invited. We were still looking for a tank or a healer. And a healer, sorry. So it was 3 DPS. And I thought, you know what, it's fine. I can watch Netflix or just do something else while I'm waiting for this group to form up. I got through 1 episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine before I realized that the leader of the group had DC'd. And therefore was not inviting anybody.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
Yeah. So I wasted about 3 hours of my time. Before I'm like, screw it, you know what? I have other stuff to do. Like, I'm going to just be an adult today and do adulting things because it felt like, you know, the game was telling me, maybe you should be doing something else with your day.
Yeah,
so I logged in on Saturday. I did my emissary quest to get that out of the way and just sat down like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to do this dungeon today. I'm going to get it done. And then, yeah, that happened. So that's frustrating.
Yeah, I would totally be. I would start out, you know, with the next group, like, come on, work with me. I just want to get this stuff done. Let's get this done, and we can move on to whatever the hell else you want to do. Just work with me here.
Here's the worst part about this entire ordeal, right? Because it's Siege of, it's for the Proudmoore quest line, right?
Mm-hmm.
It specifies mythic, so no mythic plus. You can't do the quests on mythic plus anyway. So, and I was going out of my way to queue up for groups that specifically said we are doing this for the quest.
This is the go find Jaina in the dungeon thing, right?
It's just the one that says complete Siege of Boralus.
Oh, okay, that's not the quest I was thinking of then.
Right.
I've got one to go find Jaina.
Yeah, that one's a heroic dungeon.
Okay.
Siege of Borealis is the final quest in that quest chain, and it's a mythic only dungeon.
Okay.
So it's not like I could even just queue up for a heroic to do it, because that's what I did for the other ones. Mm-hmm. And I had to specifically do a mythic. So yeah, 3 hours later, I'm attempting to do it, four veiled groups, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to do this another day. I vented my frustrations to the guild, to my guild, and we're going to try to all do it together. We just gotta find a time where we're all on land at the same time. Maybe soon. So that was my Saturday.
Yeah, I really hate when groups don't behave properly.
Hmm?
I really hate when players don't behave properly in groups. Like, you're there for a particular reason. Why are you just vanishing like that? Stupid.
Yeah.
Another reason why I don't do stuff like that these days. That and pugs suck.
Yeah, like the first two groups were totally recoverable. Yeah, somebody randomly DC'd or somebody randomly left the group. We just go back into the group finder and try to find somebody else. Yeah, we might have to wait a little bit, but whatever. That's just the nature of trying to pug this content. But no, it's drop group immediately. Worst. Freaking worst.
I'm sorry, man.
Sunday was better. I hopped around a bunch of alts and did more emissary quests. Eventually settled on to my demon hunter. So I didn't play my demon hunter at all the last expansion. Like, I got her artifact weapon, and then I chose my discipline priest as my ult. So, you know, I thought to myself, I'm gonna level this demon hunter finally. I know a bunch of people who had a lot of fun with the class, and it sounds like it'll be worth it. It was not an enjoyable experience by any stretch for the first couple of levels. Now, my Demon Hunter is only a level 100, right? So I don't have all the talents unlocked, which I realize is part of the problem. But the entire time I was playing it, I couldn't help but feel as though there was something missing from that first little bit. I saw a bunch of abilities that generated that Spend Fury. I didn't see anything that generated it outside of auto attacks. Which, like, seems like a problem. A little.
Mm-hmm.
And I scoured through the ability, like the spellbook and all that, and I could not find them for the life of me, something that generated fury. And I don't know if I'm just missing something, or I picked a suboptimal talent, but I slogged away at that for, like, 2 hours. Almost got to 101 and decided, like, I was not having fun with that and pivoted off alts to do LFR. From my comment earlier, I'm willing to bet you can guess how that experience was.
Amazingly well.
So I queued up for the final wing of LFR because it's the last one I have to do to finish off the older raid achievements. I zoned in and Mithrax was already down. Like, whatever. I kind of... Like, in the first couple weeks, I kind of expected to have to queue up for any wing that just opened up multiple times to get all the bosses. That's just the nature of LFR. I'm queuing up for LFR. So, get in there. They're on the Gahoon fight. They only have one stack of determination, which isn't bad. They only went the one time. Stuck around for 8 more pulls. None of it getting any better. At all. You know, people were explaining the fight. I mean, admittedly, I didn't go into LFR having read anything about the fight. So I didn't know what I was doing for my first pull or two. But, I mean, people were explaining the fight. I mean, what to do and what needed to be done. It was just people's adamant refusal to just not listen to anything that people who had clearly done the fight before were saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long queue to get in there, obviously, because I'm DPS. It took about 40 minutes for me to get in there. And then I spent, I don't know how long, trying to do that. To do that last boss in LFR. But was not ultimately successful. I gave up. Because people just were not listening. The worst part was, between each pull, there'd be like 5 or 10 minutes spent explaining the fight. And you know, organizing everybody. So that a job was taken care of and all that other stuff to any people that came in to replace the people who inevitably left after a while, because it's LFR that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was there for a long time. and eventually I just gave up too, because it was just, at that point I was frustrated and just not enjoying my experience in there. That was a mess. I can't wait to be able to coordinate LFR time with my guildies so that we can just hop in Discord and just hang out and joke around while we're doing that content. Because I think that's the only way I'm going to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
That sounds very similar to when I was trying to get my bird mounts at the end of Legion. Is it Legion? Yeah. I would go into, you know, groups, not our LFR groups, but like other pre-constructed groups. And, you know, you'd do a pull or two and somebody would draw. Pull or two, somebody would draw. And then between each pull, they're like explaining everything to everybody all over again. And there was so much frustration there because it's like, you have one job to do. And this is like an organized group, not even LFR. You have one job to do. Just do it. Just, you know, keep that person CC'd or attack the boss or, yeah, it was quite fun. And just watching people drop, and then it's like, oh, I've had enough of this because you had certain requirements and people aren't meeting those requirements. So, sorry guys, I'm out. Peace.
My frustration this week was completely RNG related. So,
I would prefer RNG related frustrations because at least I know I have nobody to blame. Just it's the system.
Well, I got my
system that I've grown to accept over the past 9 years of playing this game.
True. I just got my sixth level 340 chest piece and my third level 40 or 340 shoulder piece, still waiting for a 340 help.
Just do Warfronts. You should have the item level requirement for Warfronts because it's only 320.
Okay.
And honestly, Warfront's super easy content. It's not difficult by any stretch. It is, granted, a bit of a slog because you've got to progress through all the different points.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, most of that, as long as you stick with the group, is going to be a cakewalk. It just takes a little longer than normal.
Mm. Okay.
That's what I've been doing for gear upgrades. I've been hitting Warfronts when they're available, because you're guaranteed a 370 for your first time through.
Okay.
And after that, you have a chance at a 340.
And it's not PvP, right?
Right.
And that resets every week, too, doesn't it?
Well, every week-ish. Like, it's on a cycle, right? So there's the contribution phase, where you're contributing to take back the Warfront. And then, so contribution phase, that's the first week. And then the next week is you actually have the scenario where you begin to take back that Warfront. So that's the PvE scenario, a 40-person scenario. And after that is done, you'll have the questing hub of it made available to you. So you'll get a bunch of quests in that zone, Rathi Highlands. No, I can't remember the name of it now. But you'll get a bunch of quests in that zone where you'll gain 7th Legion rep and a bunch of Azerite power and all that other good stuff. And it's on a 3-week cycle. Now, during those last two cycles, you're guaranteed a piece of 370 gear. Once from the Warfront scenario quest, and once from the quests, from one of the quests that you pick up in that zone.
Okay.
And then you'll have in the quest hub phase of Warfronts, a bunch of the rares will have a chance of dropping 340. There's a world boss where you have a chance of getting gear from him. I think that's 370, maybe?
And that's no matter what your current eye level is, correct?
Correct.
And is that only Azerite armor, or is that potentially any pieces?
That's any piece. In our case, it's the 7th Legion battle plate. We both wear plate.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking for help. I have lots of chest pieces.
But in that phase, the world quest, like the world boss, Mm-hmm. It operates like any other boss, where you only have a chance at it.
Okay.
But you're guaranteed a piece through the questing.
Well, maybe I'll do that tonight, then. After I've got my Demon Hunter's world quests done.
Okay, we're in the scenario. It's not that bad, and usually the queues are really quick. I was queuing up this... I was chain queuing this weekend at one point. Just farming for gear, because I wanted a bunch of scrap, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something to do.
Right.
And I think the queues were never longer than 10 seconds. But keep in mind that's the weekend during peak time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to get some gear upgrades.
Yeah.
I've had this stupid helm that I've transmogged for ever far too long. I need better. I deserve better.
There you go. Well, yeah, there's some very approachable content for you. And I think, the Warfront scenarios, I think, definitely up your alley.
Cool. I will have to check that out.
I was going to talk, you know, there was one other thing I want to talk about, and I know I've been talking for a while, but I really want to talk about this, because it has me questioning this whole system that was introduced in Battle for Azeroth. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what everybody who's listening to this is thinking. I'm going to talk about Azerite. You'd be wrong.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Warcraft Hall of Fame. Warcraft Hall of Fame was something new that was introduced in Battle for Azeroth. It was a... What it boils down to is it's a ranking system, noting which guilds on either Alliance or Horde side achieved Mythical Deer and in what order they achieved it in. You know, they have it down to the minute. And once we have 100 guilds of Horde and 100 Alliance guilds can have completed Mythical Deer, that's when cross-realm rating will be enabled for Old Deer. Now, it all sounded very good. It all sounded good in theory. I believe when we talked about it, when this feature was being announced, I said, at least I said, I'm not sure if you guys thought this as well, but there was a very real chance that the entire mythic, like cross-realm mythic unlock, would be delayed by Alliance.
Absolutely, you predicted that.
Yeah, and here we are. I think like when did BFA launch again? That was last month, right? 2 months ago?
A couple months now, I think.
Yeah. As of right now, we have, I believe last I checked, it was 108 Horde guilds who have completed Mythical Deer. Mm-hmm. And 12 Alliance guilds that have completed it.
Wow.
Now that's a huge disparity.
I wonder if that's going to start to encourage people to go Alliance, though, because that's one of the first things I thought of. When we're talking about it, and like, I know people are migrating to Horde, and that's where a lot of the pool is, but you know, with people used to transfer back and forth all the time, or transfer servers,
right?
So I don't really see I don't think people would not go Alliance because they get a better opportunity at getting on that Hall of Fame.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there are some guilds that thought that. I don't think there's enough players moving over to do that, though.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, at the end of the day, a large portion of the hardcore PvE players are on the Horde end of things.
Yeah.
Because that's where you had the big guilds that were completing that content. So anybody who aspired to do that was playing Horde to increase their chance of getting on one of those rosters. I mean, as it stands right now, there's only two Alliance guilds on the US servers that have cleared it. I'm not even sure if it's that much. Oh, see, I can't even tell for sure because the Americas and Oceania are grouped together. I don't know that the carrot of a fancy title and getting on that leaderboard is enough to encourage people to go to Alliance to for raiding. I mean, we can see right now that the population of hardcore raiders on Alliance, just based I don't know. Everybody keep in mind, I'm just basing this off of what I'm seeing on the leaderboards. It's not very high, obviously. And I don't know what they could do to encourage people to switch over outside of giving the Alliance some racials that are comparable or better for PvE content. Because the trend for as long as Warcraft has been around anyway, the Horde had much better racials tuned like for people who are pursuing endgame content. As far as Warcraft's been around, because I don't know that since Wrath, at the very least, as far as I'm aware, you know, people are all those top end guilds are going to look for any advantage they can, and they're not going to give up those advantages just to play a race that they may prefer or a faction they may prefer. They're going to, because they're all busy chasing world first, they're going to take every advantage they can get. I don't know how this problem would be fixed, and unlocking the cross-realm mythic rating on how people progress. I wonder if we're going to see a slower turnaround time for that to get unlocked. I did some digging before the show just to compare how long a raid was released versus when cross-realm was unlocked. And there's a bit of a variance, but it's between 4 and 7 months. 7 months happening just the one time. Heimal, as far as I'm aware, didn't actually get cross-realm unlocked until 6.2. That's around 6.5 months. No, maybe longer. No, that was what I wrote down. Why does it seem... Anyway, BlackRock Foundry was released February 3rd, 2015, and while I wasn't able to find a patch note that specifically said BlackRock Foundry is available for cross-realm, I assume it happened around 6.2 as well, because that's when Heimal got it. So that's about 4.5 months for that. Hellfire Citadel had about a 5 month gap. Emerald Amir had 5. Trial of Valor had a long gap. That was 7. But that's partially because it was released earlier than Nighthold, but both Trial of Valor and Nighthold had cross-realm mythic unlocked at the same time. But then Taurus took about 5 months, and for Old Deer, we're about a month into the tier so far? I'm not sure how quickly all the Alliance guilds are going to do it, honestly. You know, it could be that in 3 months I end up just talking out my butt and I'm completely wrong and it'll went up to about 4 months again. But I'm not 100% convinced of that at the same time.
Well, the thing is, like, week to week, everybody's going to be getting more gear. So they'll be better on each encounter and, like, clear through things faster, unless they're just saving the last boss. But really, unless you're just doing the last boss, you're good to go and try to farm more gear, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a consideration to take. But one thing I've noticed with all the Alliance guilds and their progression, when they were able to clear Mythic Uldir, in some cases there was a large gap between when they cleared it and when the next group cleared it. Yeah. Like, for example, the first Alliance guild to clear it took 5 days after the world first, right? I took not great notes. Okay, it took 4 days after the world first for the first Alliance guild. And the next Alliance guild to kill it was 5 days later. And then they had a couple happen in the span of 1 day. And then it was 4 days. A gap of a day, then 3 days. Like, and then some more within a day of each other. And then another 4 days for the latest kill on Alliance side. I don't know. I'm not sure if the 3 month pattern that we more recently saw for unlocking cross realm mythics will hold with the way they're approaching it right now. It's something I'm going to keep an eye on anyway, just because I like stuff like that. But just make me question how effective this will be in terms of unlocking that feature.
Stats nerd. it's the only reason to see the math behind it and see the numbers. Because I don't know, there's a lot of people who do a lot of analysis of that kind of stuff. So, very good to have.
Can I say I got curious and I wanted something, and I almost felt like looking something up while I was eating dinner.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to bring that up. And now we can bring up our first sponsor.
Absolutely. All right, so our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures for a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside of the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Marvel, and Game of Thrones. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is the Amazon-exclusive Anna Shrike Pop. Now, this one caused a bit of a bit of stress and a little bit of drama in the collecting community for Funko Pops and Overwatch stuff, because they start taking pre-orders of them on Amazon, but then they stopped and they canceled a bunch of people's pre-orders, and now they're back. So we're hoping that they will be actually, you know, completed by people, because it's really frustrating when you make a pre-order for something and then it gets canceled. Now, I'm confident that Amazon has lots of these, because when a company gets an exclusive, they get a lot of them, like thousands and thousands of them, if not hundreds of thousands of them, depending on the store and stuff. And Amazon has lots of capacity for sending stuff out. So those recently came back in stock. So if you want to go to the Amazon site, I don't believe it's on any of the regional sites. It's only Amazon.com. But this is an Amazon exclusive Anna Overwatch Funko Pop, and it looks really cool. I don't know how closely it matches to the actual skin in game, because I don't have the skin, but it does look really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's the skin I use.
Cool. Well, if you want to check out any Funkos that are not regionally or store exclusive, you can go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10%. You can do that on your entire purchase at their store. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. And use the code SHOP10 to save 10%. I want to thank Funko for their support of the show. So what's coming up in WoW this week?
It's my time. My turn. Sorry. So this weekend, WoW, is the PvP Brawl, South Shore versus Torrin Mill. That's going to be from October 16th to the 22nd. What's today? Today's the 15th. Oh, that makes sense. Also, Time Walking, Mists of Pandaria, from the same timeline. And starting later on this week, this Thursday on the 18th, is Hallow's End. And that's going to be from October 18th until Halloween, October 31st. That's it for this week.
All right. What's the first story here about Azurite gear? Since we completely avoid that so far.
It's just a small note about Azurite gear, I promise, guys. We're going to talk a little more about Azurite gear over the next two topics. So, this is all we're going to hear about Azurite gear. There's just to clarify something that happened just after the show recorded last week. So, remember that hotfix I mentioned that would award gear at a higher level when it came to Azurite gear from World Quest rewards? Well, apparently it wasn't working right. So they applied a hotfix to correct some of the things from that hotfix to properly reward Azurite gear at the correct item level, taking into consideration your item level and all that other stuff. I guess one of the problems they were seeing was players with 371 or over average item level were getting like 355 from their Azurite caches, which is not ideal at all. I mean, I'm not expecting an upgrade, but I don't want to downgrade from those things either. Side grades are perfectly reasonable. So, yeah, that change should be in by now. So hopefully we're getting the appropriate item level rewards. And for as far as I can tell, that's been the case.
I don't know that I've gotten any superbly excellent gear, so.
What's your item level?
335.
Should be around there.
My item level is...
I think that I've gotten some 355s from world bosses, but that's about it.
That sounds all right.
Wow, I'm 277.
What a world. What so a
get
world.
So get up to 320 and then do Warfronts. Pretty sure it's 320. There's some discussion going on in the chat room whether or not it's 320 or 340, which is having me doubt myself. Since that discussion came up, I'm about 80% sure it's 320.
Well, I have been getting... I've had a quest to get Warfronts done for a while, and I'm not 340, so...
Okay, there you go. All right. So, mentioned that we're probably going to end up talking about Azerite gear, and that's because Blizzard is getting a lot of questions about Azerite gear. The two Q&As that we have this week, well, one was the developer Q&A, the one that was scheduled last week that happened on Thursday. It looks like Ian also did a Q&A with Forbes about BFA. A lot of the questions that we expected to get asked got asked. There's a lot of stuff about Azerite gear in these Q&As, because that's what the community cares about right now, and I don't blame you. So we've got some information about that. Now, some of the stuff is stuff that's been mentioned in the past, but just kind of expanding on the information that's given to us already. So with Azerite armor, we're going to be getting an extra outer ring to Azerite gear that will have two more spec specific traits in that ring, which will result in three spec specific traits on each piece of Azerite gear out of the 6 to 7 that are available. So you're getting a bit more choice there, hopefully getting the one that you're chasing. And in what they're calling Season 2 of Azerite gear, all the new gear will have a new outer ring that is spec specific traits only. So, hey, an even higher chance of getting that trait that you're chasing. They did clarify that it's intended that in each of these rings you won't see a trait in the previous ring. That should hopefully help in getting the traits that you want to see. That being said, there's always a chance they're going to add more traits in the next patch. So there's going to be a bit more choice there. And they talked about a lot of the same things that they talked about previously. The penalty for respecking and how there's value to having friction when it comes to changing specs. Which, I can see them... I don't agree to that partially. Because, yeah, if you got a class that isn't a hybrid class that is stuck in just one role, like DPS, that's pretty much all I can speak to there. That's the only thing that fits in there. Penalizing switching to just get a slightly better increase or performance out of that. And even then, like, I don't... It's not a great argument. I don't understand why they'd punish players who are switching for the purpose of filling multiple roles. For the ease of filling out a raid. I mean, it's good. It's great. And it's great to have some people who can fill multiple roles in case somebody gets... In case somebody misses raid night. I know at one point we had a paladin who switched between prot and holy because it was necessary for us, and it worked out great. Having that happen now would suck because they've got to respec their Azerite gear appropriately, and that's... I don't know. That's sucky.
Way back in the day when the respecs for your talent respecs would go up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
And gold was so hard to come by, and, you know, finding people that would be willing to do that, and, you know, they have to run away to wherever the town or any town where you could actually talk to
the class trainer,
yeah, to respec, and oh my.
Yeah, and that was a cruddy system. And they moved away from that. And like their attitude with Azerite gear is playing very much to that old cruddy system.
Yeah, that's really weird. Like, even if you consider reforging, which was just, hey, let's dump this money and to reforge your gear every time you get an upgrade because you don't want that much crit. You want a little bit of haste and maybe some mastery. But the reforging didn't go up and up and up and up.
Yeah, well, it wasn't an exponential.
That's weird. I've not had to respec any of my gear because, number one, I wasn't totally sure that it could be done, but having like an incremental cost on that does not feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't make gold very much anymore, and like I made a bunch in last expansion, but you know, I shipped that all away. But it feels a little awkward, especially like you were saying, Toasty, for people that fill multiple roles that respec and need to do that to like fill out the right things, because otherwise like a piece of gear is kind of garbage if it's not filling out the things you need, especially if you're looking at a healer versus a DPS versus a tank. Especially a healer versus a tank. A DPS, you don't have to be, but like even that, when you're pushing to kill the next boss, the little bit that you lose could go a long way. And it's not even like a race. It's just trying to progress and, you know, not having that last person that you need, and you know, the one person that goes and you know, respects so that your team can try to progress. I don't know how I feel about that.
It absolutely seems like people who do have possibly several different roles, like a paladin or a druid, really bad for a druid, those who have that option or the ability to do so either have to spend a lot on respecking it or carry a full set of gear, including that stuff, around with them all the time, which is not a very good feeling.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you said an extra set of gear, because one of the things that they did with tier pieces, I can't remember when they made that change, but they made it so that when you change specs, it would just flex to your current spec instead of having to collect a different set for Prot versus Fury, for example.
That's not just tier pieces. That's just normal gear, not including trinkets and jewelry.
Right. Like, why wouldn't they have that carry forward to Azrael gear?
You know what? Somebody has been either drinking the classic Kool-Aid or smoking the classic stuff, right? It's like, well, hey, we had this in classic. Let's.
Well, you see, guys, this is what happens when you let WoW Classic infect your company.
And you know, maybe this is what happens when Metzen moves away.
Hear a story.
I'm just joking, because that was a last week thing, and this would have been decided a longer time ago. We're just finding out about it now, yeah. Or last week or whatever.
Like, there are some of the things that they said behind the Azerite stuff, it just doesn't sit right. I mean, I have no personal beef against the Azerite gear. For me, it's been working out fine. I haven't had any issues with it, but I'm not approaching the content with the same mentality that I was last expansion. I've moved very much to a more casual approach to the game, where I'm not worrying about eking out every good stat that I can to try to be the better warrior in the raid, even though that never happened. Damn it, Drac. But I can see how some of the philosophies behind Azerite gear would irk some people. Now, I don't think the switching cost should be as exponential as it is right now. Right now, it's every time you respec, it doubles. the next time you do it. And if you go 3 days without respecking, the cost will get cut in half. Now, I think that's... While it does a good job of discouraging having to need to change for every fight, it's also discouraging people who want to flex into a different role for a specific fight.
Yeah. It is prohibitive. Like, really. It really is.
Yeah. And I don't... I can't think of a system that would discourage talent swapping for a specific... What is equivalent to talent swapping for a specific fight? Just for that extra bit of damage? But that wouldn't also discourage zeroing in on a single spec. That wouldn't also discourage doubling up on rolls when it's necessary. I don't know how to solve that problem. I get what they're trying to do. I get what they're trying to do with the system, and there are points of it that I agree to, but I don't think the current implementation is the way to go about it. But I can't think of an alternative. And there's our weekly stuff about Azerite gear, guys.
Sorry, not sorry. Blame Blizzard for talking about it.
And Gil brings up an excellent point in chat. That's why you hold on. That's why you hold those pieces of gear you get for the same slot that are the same item level. Then you set them up for the spec. Yes. I mean, that's what people are doing right now. But
the thing is, you're in a progression team and you have two people that really like this piece of gear, are you going to give it to the same person twice and ignore the other person? So that person A can have the same piece of gear for two specs, and person B, gotta wait for the third one to drop.
Hopefully. Except you can't even do that. Can't even do that because personal loot. Because master looter is no longer a thing. If master looter was a thing, it might make it a bit easier.
Yeah.
But personal loot is the way things are right now.
So if person A gets a drop and gets the same drop,
They can trade it away.
They can keep it too.
They can keep it, absolutely, but they can also trade it away because they've gotten a piece of gear for that slot that's the same item level. Then also, you know, you run into a problem like, what if it Titan Forges?
Yeah.
Like, great, okay, so I'm gonna get this Titan Forge piece of gear, but this other normal piece of gear is just enchanting mats or stuff for the scrapper.
And that, wow, like I am so out of touch with gear because I haven't been playing very much that I didn't even totally forgot about the personal loot thing. Like, yeesh.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not relevant to any of us right now. None of us are raiding.
Yeah.
And prior to this expansion, in Legion, all the dungeons were personal loot anyway. So that's just what we've expected. That's the content we've been... that's content I've been seeing.
Yeah.
And that's just what I expected from dungeons. I think in the way they had it set up... Didn't they have it set up in a way where if you set up the group in a certain way, like through a certain means, would only be personal loot? Am I remembering that incorrectly?
How they would, sorry?
Like if you used the group finder,
yeah,
to form a raid group, was it restricted to just personal loot, or am I just remembering that wrong?
Like I said, I'm so out of touch with this that I had no idea.
I think maybe the default was personal loot.
Yeah, I don't remember either, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think at one point they made it so that they either restricted what kind of loot system you would use based on how the group was put together, or it defaulted to personal loot and it was like a manual switch to change it over. Either way, it was a system that worked. I don't see why it needed changing. I mean, yeah, sure. For most groups, personal loot was absolutely the default. And they kept it that way because it worked out fine for them. But for some groups, it just doesn't work that way. Anyway, they didn't just talk about Azerite gear and loot stuff. They talked about balance issues specifically with tanks. they agree that Prot and Guardian, that Prot Warriors and Guardian Druids are not in a good place right now. In the case of the Druid, they see it as more of a numerical thing. Prot Warriors is going to need a little bit more work. They'll have to mess with the rotation a little bit and try to figure that out. They'll start about healers in general and restoration shaman, because of course shaman are the kind of everyone's got their microscope on how shamans are doing right now, because shaman right now are not performing that great, and it's very well known to many people, and they're taking a look at that. They did detail some of the changes that they were going to make, that they were looking at making to restoration shaman. I'm not going to get too into those, because that's a bet there. They talked about the Warfront that's coming in 8.1. The way they're setting up the Warfront is it's going to be on a differently timed schedule compared to the Battle for Stromgarde. So they won't ever be on the same phase. That's good. Honestly, they probably should just put in two at the beginning to better illustrate that and to lessen the disparity in the gear people were getting, but hey, whatever. They didn't speak more to allied races, not too much, but allied races, just that they're not planning on updating the Death Knight area for allied races, so don't expect to have a Dark Iron Death Knight, for example, or a Nightfallen Death Knight, or a Void Elf Death Knight, or any of the other Death Knight, or any of the other allied races. And of course, they also spoke about the 8.1 dungeon, which, as of now, they're calling the Battle of Dazar'alor. So, BOD. BD.
I'm trying to imagine what a Death Knight Lightforged Draenei would be.
Well, that's exactly it. Thematically, some of those class combinations don't make sense.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that.
Void Elf Death Knights don't make sense. Lightforged Death Knights don't make sense. Nightfallen Death Knights don't make sense. Same with High Mountain Tauren. The only one that reasonably makes sense that could have legitimately happened would be Dark Iron. And even then, like, that's a super out of left field thing.
You're only saying that because it's Dark Iron and that's what you want, right?
No. And the Dark Iron were very much part of the world at large at that time. We had exposure to the Dark Iron at that point. The Lich King was around. The Nightfallen were in their walled city. Void Elves didn't exist. High Mountain Tauren didn't exist outside of Broken Isles. Lightforged Draenei were still regular Draenei. The whole thing. Anyway.
Really good. Some fun thoughts.
Yeah. So they talked about, like I said, they talked about the Battle of Dazar'alor. There's going to be 9 bosses in there. The way they're thinking about doing it right now is they might have it so that the 9 bosses may exist in the same order for both factions, which will solve that world first thing that we mentioned when they announced the different layouts. What the option they're looking at is the Alliance will basically play through the entire battle, and then the last bosses will be a recap of what they missed, whereas the Horde players are getting their flashback moment in the middle of the raid. The order will be the same, but the way they're presented will be different. That's fine. If it works out, and if they do it that way, then that raid first, that world first thing will be easy to figure out. Just whoever kills the last boss first. And if it's not, they're just leaving it up to the community to figure out which world first matters. That's literally what they said. That's gonna go so well. Yeah. It's obviously the Alliance world first that matters.
Very clearly. I mean, that Alliance is the king.
Hey, if there's any way to drive people to raiding on Alliance, that'll be it.
Maybe that's their plan. That's their whole wicked scheme. They're introducing this just to get people to play the Alliance. Congratulations, Blizzard. You've done well.
Okay. One thing that I read in the write-up for the Q&A was interesting, considering some of the statements they had recently about how the way gear was awarded. The team has moved away from raids being the only slash best endgame PvE content. There are plenty of other people that are enjoying Mythic Plus dungeons, but at the same time, for a little while, you weren't getting the same quality of gear or the same kind of gear from Mythic Plus. I mean, it's changed that now, but like, that was a little contradictory. But hey, it works. It works now. Here's another thing that was interesting that I didn't realize had happened. Except for new content zones, there is no cross-realm zone tech enabled. That's interesting.
What?
Yeah. So remember all those frustrations we had when cross-realm was introduced? Where, you know, you had nodes phase out because you were in a different... You get started to a different realm. Or, you know, you grouped up with your buddy and you didn't see them because they got stuck on a different cross-realm thing. Apparently that's not a thing anymore, unless we're in the new zones.
Well, to be fair, I felt this... I didn't watch the Q&A, but I did feel like the sectioning that I'm reading here has that being a RP realm thing, not a general realm thing. So I don't know if that's actually generally realms or just RP realms. Because they are referring to this in a RP realm section.
Well, they are too.
And the reason why they didn't want sharding and cross realms to be happening on RP realms is they A, don't want to bring non-RP people into an RP realm, which then breaks the RP that people are doing on their realms, but also because they don't want people to be sharded off to different sections when they're at an RP event.
Oh, yeah, like, I read that completely wrong. All right.
I've been at events where there have been hundreds of people in a certain place in Stormwind or in a certain small zone section. That is definitely something that you want to make sure it does not happen in an RP scenario.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have to find that specific question in the Q&A. I only got to watch half of it. Interesting. So I might be wrong on that whole thing. Well, I feel dumb now.
For my thing, I'm very interested to see the old friending list they're bringing in for the next expansion or next patch, because I do feel that now that I've leveled an alt, I do feel that there's definitely places I could see them improving things as on an alt. For instance, I mentioned rep is definitely a hard thing to gain. You know, I've just gotten all the reps I need for Pathfinder, and it's very hard to be able to get what I need on another character if I wanted to get certain things. So it'd be really nice to see them increase some of the rep gains for alts. Or even just have rep be across accounts. That'd be really nice too. But I don't know that I can see that happening.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. While it would be nice, I don't think any of us... I think in the end we decided that it probably wouldn't happen because they want us to keep playing the game. Give me tabards that help me gain rep faster.
They could go back to that system. They had that originally in, I believe it was Mists, or was that in...
No, they had it in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had it in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
So it was a perfectly good system. Just bring that back. Anyway, there are a whole bunch of other topics that were covered in the Q&A. If you're at all interested in what was said, you can find the write-up on MMO Champion, where you can watch the VOD on Twitch, and I'm pretty sure it's up on YouTube as well.
For sure. So let's talk a little bit more about BlizzCon. We haven't talked about that in, you know, at least 6 days or so. So we got the floor plan for BlizzCon this year. The stuff that we'd expect to be there is there. There's the all-access channel stuff where they're doing the virtual ticket coverage. There's the different tournament stages, Warcraft, Heroes, StarCraft. Overwatch, of course, is back in the arena. And StarCraft... No, that's right. Hearthstone is over on in one of the over in North Hall. Now, we were talking about this a little bit in the pre-show in the host chat. And we did notice one really interesting thing. And this kind of harkens back to what we saw back when we were looking at the year that Overwatch launched. And that was, we noticed there was a large area of the floor that was not mapped. We've talked in Discord a bit, and I've theorized personally myself. I noticed there was something in one of the names of the panels, and Frasley found a Reddit thread that kind of led into that being also a possibility of there being a new announcement, a new title for Diablo. A Diablo MMO type thing, perhaps, called Diablo World or Diablo World of Sanctuary. And it just seems really interesting that this blank space is right next to where they have a very, or a seemingly small number of Diablo stations. What do you guys think?
I think they changed the layout of Hall D, and I'm uncomfortable with that.
They did that as well.
I mean, this isn't like right inside or right beside the bathroom, so it's kind of awkward. Because isn't that what they did last year? It was Diablo 3 was inside the bathrooms?
Yeah, it was right beside the bathroom, yeah. between Hall A and B, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. I just find it, like, yes, they did change the Hall D stage. normally it faces one direction, but yeah.
Normally the screens are along the wall that divides Hall D and Hall C.
So between Hall A and B, you mean like where it says the Overwatch payload tour is?
Yeah.
Pretty much there, yes. That was Diablo last year.
Yeah, that's a photo op place.
I mean, we've talked about this several years in a row now. Diablo hasn't been getting a lot of attention at BlizzCon, and people who are in that game, in that universe of community, they've been complaining. They've been very frustrated that they haven't been getting the attention they deserve. They haven't been getting any new information. They've been getting patches and seasons, but nothing substantial. Like, the last substantial thing we got was Necromancers, which was a really great cool thing and a lot of fun. But it's not a new title, it's not a new story, it's not new content.
Right.
Other than a new place, a new character to play with. This feeling that is growing in the community, the Blizzard overall gaming community, that this is definitely going to be a Diablo year, is growing. And I really feel like when you get into the con, Toasty, and you walk past that area, I think it's going to be a lot bigger than it appears on this map. I think it's going to be covered, so you can't see what's on the screens. I will note they only do that for new titles being announced. Like, the Warcraft one, it's only new patch content at best. It's likely just going to be 8.1 content, since I don't think we're going to see 8.1 launch before BlizzCon. So it'll just be 8.1 content. There's no need to cover those screens. So either those screens will be off completely, or the entire area will be covered with very large sheets, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that this is an indication to me, much like Overwatch was that missing space a few years back, this is the missing space. This is going to be a Diablo big announcement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Diablo's presence on the main stage immediately after opening ceremonies, if that wasn't a big enough hint that we're going to have a bunch of Diablo stuff, I think Diablo being in that area is right next to a big empty area is also a good indicator.
Yeah. And we're also talking a little bit about the Blink store. Now, you know, that launched, I think, my last year there.
Last year.
And, you know, when they announced it, the idea sounded really good to me, but conceptually in my head, it was very different to how they implemented it. I envisioned it was you place your order, somebody there or a group of people gather your stuff in your order together, put it on a shelf with a bag, with a number, and when you get there, it's ready to pick up. You just go through your line, here's my confirmation, here's my code, barcode, whatever, QR code, whatever, and then you go from there, and you have your stuff. It's quick. That was the idea. And the implementation was very much not the case. Mm-hmm. Because it was, you place your order online, then you go there, you wait in line, you go to the front of the desk you're assigned to when you get there, and then they go get your stuff, which the only time you're saving is, oh, what am I going to order? All you're saving in your entire process. And that felt very kludgy to me, very unclean. It wasn't a clean process. So the fact that they have something called the Blink Lounge now makes me hope that what the process is going to be now is that at worst, you go to the desk, you say, here's my order, and then they say, okay, we'll gather your order and call you up to this desk over here with your order. And you go sit in the lounge, you wait for your number to be called, and that goes faster. Because if you're not saving time by having stuff already assembled or getting people out of the line as quickly as possible so that people can just get on their way, there's no use in having the Blink store, in my opinion. What do you think?
I don't think I'd go so far as saying there's no use in having it, because like you said, it definitely saves the time off the order. Let's face it, In the first year, there's definitely just a lot of people spending quite a bit of time in that line just to find out that their stuff, whatever they wanted, was sold out, or they didn't have it in the size they wanted and stuff like that. The Blink store will help you assess what's there, get these and get the right stuff, and not worry about wasting time trying to get the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in the way that you laid out, where it might be implemented now, we'll save more time. Absolutely.
And again, I'm not saying this is definitely how it's going to be. I just think that's
right.
That would be a good way that they could do it to make it a little bit faster and a speedier process, so that eventually they can even maybe shorten the line for the BlizzCon store to, you know, not 2/3 of the section for store lineup, because it's the store on site is, put it mildly, a cluster. And I think the best example of that is you're learning a new language in line.
I can't remember if it was Mandarin or Cantonese, that was Chinese.
It was a language you didn't know, and you could almost learn it. You almost be by the end of it, which is crazy.
Yeah,
like, it totally needs a better functionality there, and I'm really hopeful that further refinements of the Blink store idea can lead to that.
Yeah, and it's gotten better over the years since I started going to BlizzCon. So here's hoping that this is just further refinement.
Absolutely.
What I'm enjoying here in this whole map is that ESPN booth. You notice that?
I did. I'm very curious to see how much they're going to cover from BlizzCon. I mean, I'm sure that they will have coverage of the tournament, the Overwatch tournament, on ESPN from there, at least some of it, maybe the finals or something, because I think that's free for streaming anyway. But I'm very curious to see what they're going to do for coverage for that. ESPN being at BlizzCon is a new idea.
Yeah, I don't think they've been there before. Which just means there's going to be more outrage about video games on the sports network. Whatever.
Sports gets redefined.
Yep. But hey, if ESPN has an opportunity to not show hockey stuff, they're going to take it.
Well, I'm sure they pay less for Overwatch coverage than they do for hockey.
ESPN is notoriously bad for just not showing hockey stuff.
No, okay.
It's like, oh, preseason baseball or hockey. Let's watch preseason baseball.
Preseason hockey isn't a real thing.
That's what I heard.
It isn't. It doesn't matter.
There you go. So we're all in agreement there.
I don't agree with this. I simply said that that's what I heard. I made no agreement on the matter. So are you thinking you're going to hit the esports gear store while you're there and see what they have?
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I have already, so...
Yeah.
But... I'll look for anything new.
Well, I was thinking to get you some Overwatch gear stuff for the new Canadian teams that are starting up.
No, because they're Toronto and Vancouver.
Uh huh. So what's wrong with that? They're Canadian.
Yeah. No.
All right. Let's move along, shall we?
Yeah. Oh, wait. It's not my turn to talk.
No, we should let this fan death guy talk. I mean, what? He hasn't been here in a while, but he should have some words.
I can talk? Jeez, I've been talking. So there was an announcement. When was that? Was that just today? Yeah, that was just today. A post about the World of Warcraft Student Art Contest 2018. And so it opened today. And there's going to be 4 grand prize winners from each category. I don't even know what the categories are. I missed that.
Environment underneath
scroll a little bit. Oh jeez. Environment, character, FX, animation, environmental, visual development / conceptual art contest. That's weird that it says there's 4 grand prize winners from each category. And then it gives the categories after that. It should give the categories before that. Anyways, the grand prizes include a tour of Blizzard Entertainment's headquarters in Irvine. That'd be so awesome. I never got to do that. 2-hour face-to-face mentorship session with a senior Blizzard artist. 1-year subscription to WoW. Blizzard Entertainment notebook featuring an original sketch by a Blizzard artist and a Blizzard t-shirt. That's so awesome. And for each category, there's 4 grand prize winners.
Yep.
And so that's like, what, 20 grand prize winners in total.
Like, yep.
That's super cool. And then also, I had read this a minute ago. Oh, yeah. So it opens October 15th, which is today, and entries will be received up until 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, January 31st, 2019. So they're calling this the art contest, Student Art Contest 2018, and you can, they accept submissions until the end of January 2019. That's a typical student thing, doing it like last minute and having it, you know, not due in 2018, like the contest dates. That's super cool, though. I'm excited to see what happens, like what people submit. I know in the past, I haven't seen all the submissions, but or even all the grand prize winners, but there are a lot of the things that people do are super cool.
Yeah, like the if you click on the character tab, that otter mount that I wanted so badly. Blizzard, there's still time. Give it to me. It's worth noting that this contest is only open to U.S. and Canadian college and university students, assuming you're not a resident of North Dakota, Vermont, Connecticut, Maryland, or Quebec. Because different giveaway laws, including, like, Quebec has something to do with French. It needs to be in French or something like that.
Yeah,
is
there's
that what it is? Or I thought it was something.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
French has to be above the English on your page. You have to have a presence in Quebec. There's all kinds of stupid things.
So just have 2 contest pages and have a single remote worker in Quebec.
That's what some people do. There's actually companies that actually offer a service of, we'll be your Quebec presence. It's really amusing, actually.
And just have a separate Quebec rules page and just legitimately call it that. Anyway, yeah. So,
look forward to seeing this, you know, next year when it starts getting judged. Or after it's judged, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's in the meantime, there's another contest going on. I believe that just started today. Yep, this is also announced today. So it's the annual Halloween Pumpkin Carving Contest. Starting today and up until October 25th, you can submit your pumpkin carving to Blizzard with whatever you want on it, as long as it's appropriate and Blizzard-themed. And they'll choose 5 of the grandest autumnal squash to receive a $60 USD Blizzard balance. So that's cool. The pumpkins from the previous years were always fantastic, so I'm looking forward to see what far more talented people than I can accomplish, because I can barely carve a suitable face onto a pumpkin, and like, that's just a normal pumpkin face, not anything particularly arty.
Yeah, there's definitely been some really awesome contests in the past, and it's really good to hear that they're bringing that back, and I'm very curious as to what they are going to have, so hopefully we'll hear about that shortly after BlizzCon.
Yeah, I imagine that it's open to residents from multiple countries, so make sure to check the contest rules to make sure that you're eligible. I assume that probably the previous restrictions in the United States and Canada follow suit here, but yeah, just look over the rules. You can find that at contest.blizzard.com.
Awesome. Let's pay another bill, shall we?
All right. So our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today is book 4 of the Codex Alaris series with Captain's Fury. Let's have a listen.
If 2 years here have shown us anything, it's that Kalare can no more easily maneuver through the fens than we can. The chances that he'd be able to catch your force in time are minimal. Miles glared at the other man. I note that if we follow this plan, your own forces will be completely insulated from danger. If it works, Aquitaine countered. We'll roll up Kalare's mobile forces before summer is fairly underway, and besiege the city within 2 weeks after. And if it doesn't, my men face everything Kalare has left on their own. It is a war, Captain, Aquitaine said in a mild tone. There does tend to be the occasional risk. Miles snarled out something under his breath, and his hand fell to the hilt of his sword. Aquitaine's teeth flashed in a slow feline smile. Captain, don't you think we should hear from the good Countess before we discuss this further?
And once again, that was Book 4 in the Codex Alera series, Captain's Fury, written by Jim Butcher, narrated by Kate Reading. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely. And our question of the week from last week was, what band or musical actor are you hoping will close out BlizzCon in 2018?
I'm going to... I didn't answer last week because I wasn't here, but I'm going to go ahead with what Toasty had said earlier. Or Avenged Sevenfold. I think that'd be super awesome. Not that I would watch it, but I had a lot of fun with that show. Anyways, onwards to the actual answers by real people, not just me. So Frazzlytastic says, I would love to see someone who has done covers of Blizzard songs. Too many to list here. Remedies said... Actually, the orchestra that plays in-game music and cinematics would be amazing. And Vakrisa said Elite Tauren Chieftains, but it's been a while since they performed.
Yeah, I think their bassist is no longer in the same position in the company, so that may be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
But I do feel that Frazzly and Remedies are both asking for basically video games live.
I think Franzi was speaking specifically to the people who do Warcraft-themed covers of popular songs.
Fair enough, but I don't know if there's anybody who does enough of that to do a concert. So that's kind of problematic.
Yeah. DMG Silverthorn says, William Shatner performing spoken word music. I assume he meant spoken word and not spoken work there, Silverthorn. Not Michael Height, which was an interesting Twitter handle because his name is listed as Michael Height. Says, randomly hoping for some third wave ska of Real Big Fish or Less Than Jake. Daft Punk would also be amazing, and I will agree to those first two suggestions. Darksting77 says Weezer would be amazing, and yes, Weezer would also be great.
I've never heard of the bands that not Michael Height mentioned.
What?
What? Okay. I can understand.
Your job after this show is to go look up Real Big Fish.
I have heard of Daft Punk, though.
And you know what? While you're looking up Real Big Fish, look up Goldfinger as well, because you won't be disappointed.
I can understand you not hearing of Less Than Jake. That's kind of like a niche-y, like, ska band. But I know people who are not fans of ska who know who Real Big Fish is.
Well, see, here's the problem. That I don't know that I trust you guys. Give me stuff that you guys troll me too much.
No. This is one suggestion that, like, legitimately is fantastic. You know, the guys, Baramu, those guys who sent us the covers last year, or those original songs last year?
Yes.
Very much along the same lines.
Okay.
And also, and I'm not going to say the name of the song because it might not be appropriate for the show, but I can link it in chat. But the band is the Planet Smashers because they're super fun. And I saw them at the Garrick, and was it the Garrick? No, not the Garrick. Weston Cultural Center, and one of the wind guys was actually standing on one of the stacks, the speaker stacks, and it was so cool. I think Real Big Fish did that too. But anyways, those last two, those were some really good ideas. I would love to see those.
Okay. So Ali said, Foo Fighters. I can see them being a good show, plus I want to watch it. And Zef says, Avenged Sevenfold was rumored a few years ago, but we got Weird Al instead. Interesting idea. Maybe they were the ones that backed out, if that's what happened that year.
Man, Foo Fighters, I would love for them to play BlizzCon again. They played them the first year I tried to get tickets. And I'm like, that's all right. I'll be okay. And then I saw Foo Fighters was playing, and then I was really sad. So I went, made sure to go the next year.
So I believe our prediction, our next question of the week is attempting to get ahead of the leaks, because almost every time we've tried to do a prediction that was within a few weeks of BlizzCon, it gets leaked, and then everybody's right, and that's no fun. So our question of the week this week is prediction time. What are you expecting to be announced at BlizzCon 2018? I'll go first. Diablo World of Sanctuary, or some variation of that, which is an open world MMO.
Because that hasn't been leaked already.
Okay, then I will go back to what I said before that was leaked. Diablo World, an MMO of some sort.
I feel like I should have added a caveat to this question about no Diablo, because we all know Diablo's coming.
But we don't know what. We don't know what is coming from Diablo.
I'm trying to do something not Diablo thing. I'm expecting the names of all six of the new... Yeah, all six of the new Overwatch League teams to get announced.
I'm going to take a step to another game, and I'm going to say not one, not two, but three new Heroes of Storm characters.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and who?
Let's take a shot in the dark.
I don't even know what's there right now. Nope. I don't even know what characters there are. Like, I can list off some of them or figure out some of them, but like, I know Jaina is one. I know PTC is one. I know
so far you're naming
Chogal is one.
Okay. So far these are all very early characters.
Or what?
So far these are all very early characters.
Oh, Diablo. Well, that's an early one too.
That's an original character.
See, there you go. But no, I haven't played it since the early times. So yeah, I have nothing to stand on there. So I'm just saying there's going to be three. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm sorry. There were not six new Overwatch League teams. There are eight. So I'm expecting all eight of those names to be announced. I must have pushed Toronto and Vancouver out of my head.
I can't imagine why. All right. So moving along. So I announced this on Twitter. Somebody on this show is going to be gone for two of the next three weeks. So I found some fill-ins and decided to bring back an old host to talk BlizzCon right before. So as I announced, we are going to have Allie on next week's episode because Tosi's not here. I don't remember why. It doesn't really matter.
Hockey.
Oh, hockey, of course.
The Blues are in town.
Makes sense. So, yeah, so Allie will be guesting that week. Toast will be back on the 29th, and we'll have Rowan to talk BlizzCon and all the things we plan for and expect to see out of that. And then on the 5th, we're going to have Zephs joining us, because Toasty will still be in California, and we'll be talking a little bit about what happened at BlizzCon. So we're looking forward to having all these great guests to have some very interesting conversations, and I'm very confident much harassing of me.
Man, I'm looking forward to the 29th show. It's always fun having Ro on. And
yeah. Really? Well, yeah. What is it specifically that you like having him on for?
I mean, you know why.
Go ahead, say it. Say it.
Because he trolls you just as much, if not more, than me and Sam.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right, then. Anyways. One of these days.
Medros did this to himself. Let's just remember that.
Yep.
Yep. I invited you guys all on my show. So I did it all to myself.
I mean, we're just so valuable that you can't... You don't want to be without us.
Yeah. So the reminder of the contest we have going on right now, which is... the question of the month for a Echo Gear mount. The question is, what are you most looking forward to from BlizzCon? You can check the post for that on our website at allthingsazeroth.com. You can answer via Twitter, via email, or via our Discord. And all that is found in the post on our website. So we look forward to seeing your answers and seeing what you're looking forward to seeing at BlizzCon. And then lastly, just a reminder, I will be doing a pod before the con event, which will be held on Twitch at twitch.tv/conbeforethestorm. That'll be October 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll be myself, it'll be Allie from Dungeon Fables, Frazzly of Frazzlecast, Tosh Mifune from Half Hill Report, Berserker from Unshackled Fury, Stone from WoW Challenges, and Nick from WoW Talk. So we look forward to seeing some of our listeners there and having a good talk about what's going to be coming for WoW in BlizzCon, hopefully.
Just a quick correction. The
what
Earl.
What time is that?
7 p.m. Eastern Time on the 28th of October.
Okay.
What was the correction?
The URL for the Con Before the Storm's Twitch is Con Before Storm. There's no the.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Twitch.tv/Con Before Storm. It's apparently the is too much, apparently.
No, I think like I know the originally the URL Con Before the Storm wasn't available, so they took Con Before Storm. So I imagine it's just like keeping it all consistent. I'm pretty sure all their social media is like that.
I believe you're right, but thank you for that correction. I'm sure we'll tweet out what that's happening before the broadcast goes live as well. So we'll look forward to seeing some of there and having a good conversation.
Yep.
And I'll be moderating, just to clarify. So it'll be good old moderation day. It'll be fun. Have some good talk.
Which means trolling day for Toasty.
I don't have to have the chat open, so troll away, my friend.
Fine. Be that way.
All right. Now time for shoutouts. Start with you, Toasty.
Oh, I actually thought about this before the show, and then I didn't write it down because I'm dumb. I told myself I was going to be prepared for this. I actually thought about it while I was putting the show together. Like all the show notes together.
Yeah. Well, I'll do mine. My shout out is for you two guys for, covering for me when I'm flaky and not around, because that's been happening a little bit lately. So I really appreciate that I can step out when there's things going on and you guys don't even have to bat an eyelash. You're just right on the game, right on your game. So shout out to you, but you too.
Cool. I'm going to have a double shout out. Thank you to the folks at Blizzard who sent me a very impressive box of goodies. Some of those will be ending up in giveaways soon. And I very much appreciate the letter that came with it and the thoughtfulness of the gift. So thank you very much to them. And going to shout out another fellow podcaster, somebody whose show I recently started listening to. And that is Allie from Dungeon Fables. Really great show. If you are into the lore, if you're curious about what is being basically behind the story, the places we're going, it's a really great show. Nice and short, just like a 15-20 minute show usually. I've learned stuff I didn't know about dungeons that I've been to hundreds of times. So definitely recommend giving it a listen to. That's dungeonfables.libsyn.com. And if you want to find it on Twitter, it's at dungeonfable, no S, because apparently the S was taken. So, but yeah, there's my shout outs.
I want to give a shout out to two groups of people. First of all, to our fantastic live chat today. It was a great group that came out tonight. A lot of great conversation there. So thank you to Erlina, Ali, Gil, Zeph, and Stone earlier today. He's gone now. But yeah, shout out to you guys. Thanks for coming out. I'm going to give a shout out to another group of people who had a larger than expected impact on my life. And those are the fantastic people in Vox Machina, because hey, it's been just about a year since we said goodbye to them, and holy crap, just looking back at all those memories brought a little tear to my eye, and which is expected if you watched episode 115 of Critical Role, because if you come out of that episode not crying, you're a monster. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Awesome. All right, I think that's about it. So let's do it after, shall we?
All right, so if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandas is at Fandas. I'm at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. You can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including GrimQuest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of many questions and some answers. Super Orgy Porno Party.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.